With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
3-1 New Jersey, the final. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Sabres and Devils going at it tonight, and New Jersey gets it done. A two-goal victory. As we welcome you back here to the press box, highly energetic game for both teams. I thought there was a lot of effort and energy. The speed of the New Jersey Devils, seeing it in person for the first time this season, very, very impressive from start to finish for sure. The first 5 minutes of the game, New Jersey looked outstanding, even though there were no goals scored in the first period. I thought the Sabres adjusted pretty well and seemed to be able to get their game going in the second half of the first period. But New Jersey in the second period ended up with the three tallies that ended up being enough for them. Hughes, Boqvist, and Tatar score in the second period. All the scoring came there. Olofsson had Buffalo's goal there. But in the third, if Buffalo was going to make it a game, and they did, I thought in terms of their effort, the first 2 minutes was a golden opportunity. Alex Tuck came flying in on his opening shift, just missed the net. Then Jack Quinn hit a post. Then Kyle Loposo hit a crossbar. And, you know, by the time those were done, you're sitting here saying, man, out of those three really high-quality opportunities, if just one of those had gone in, obviously maybe it plays out differently. Rasmus Dahlin had a great move in front, couldn't get it in. Then the Sabres had the puck in, actually in the net toward the end. The referee blew it dead. Two different things going on there. You can't shove the goalie in, but at the same time, he didn't have the puck. So I could see maybe why the Sabres were a little upset. Of course, if you go back to period two, remember at that point, Tyson Jost actually scored, jamming in the puck on the side of the crease. The officials blew it dead. So in some sense, if you want to be upset, you could. Sabres scored twice with neither of them counting. However, you know, the referee doesn't see it. It is what it is. It's just one of those nights where I don't have a lot to be negative about with what Buffalo did. I'm just want to say that, you know, impressive of what New Jersey did. And probably them on being on top at the end of the night feels right in terms of what we watched. But I thought Rob was right. I thought both goaltenders were very good. Craig Anderson, yes, lets in a stinker, but he faced 44 shots, was very busy, and made some monster saves in the third to at least keep it alive for Buffalo. He ends up making 41 saves and picked up third-star honors in this one tonight. The Sabres will continue their homestand Monday night. They've got the Tampa Bay Lightning in town. We'll have it for you at 7 o'clock right here on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. So Paul coming up in the room with player reaction. And speaking of that, let's do that now. Live to the room, Rasmus Dahlin with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Rasmus, the effort certainly was there for you guys. They're a tough team. I mean, they made it tough to get through them. What makes it so difficult to try to get through them?
Yeah, they're pretty fast, and they're good defensively. They shut down in their neutral zone. But we played good. We had our chances, and it was a close game. So next time, we know what to do.
What allowed you guys to start getting to your game and handling their pressure better?
First time we played them, so we kind of saw what they did, and we kind of adjusted. And we came out, and sometimes we played in their end a lot of minutes. So, I mean, overall, it's a pretty good game, but we couldn't score today, and that was the case.
With that kind of pressure, is it speed that will beat it?
Yeah, you got to just play simple. aerials and use the glass sometimes when they're on top of you. And they were good in the neutral zone. So when we figured that out, we had some really good chances.
Could you believe he made that save in the third? It looked like he had a goal there.
Who?
When you spun and he made that save, it looked like he had a goal there. Could you believe he made that save?
Yeah, it was a good save. I'm not used to those situations, so if that was a forward, he probably would put it high. But good try, but good save.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Rasmus Dahlin, I thought very, very good tonight, as he usually is. Played 27:05 of ice time, led the Sabres with shots on goal with five, doing what he always does best, bringing the puck up, creating offense, had a glorious opportunity. I mean, in the third there, I mentioned the tuck chance right away, Quinn the post, a post with a crossbar, Dahlin the great move in front. Later, you know, with this goaltender pulled, the Sabres had some good looks too, couldn't get it in. All right, down to the room, Vinny Hinostroza live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Vinny, effort wasn't a question. I mean, you guys had the effort and went. It just seemed like they're a very relentless group coming at you.
Yeah, I think I felt like we started pretty good. I think we worked really hard, but we couldn't get the goals we wanted. We need to try to produce more stuff in front of that. And I think we played pretty well, but there's some stuff we need to clean up.
What does it take when a team does pressure you like that? What does it take to beat that pressure?
Yeah, I think it's just simplify the game. Don't rush up the ice. Be there for your teammates. Support them just to relieve the pressure. And then once you do, we can move up the ice and get it behind their D.
Did you have to figure it out for a bit? I mean, it seemed like you had more chances in the offensive zone as the game wore on.
Yeah, I think it took us a little bit to get to our game. Obviously, the last two games we started really well. And I think today, I thought the energy was there at the beginning. It just took us a little time to get to our game, get some offensive zone possession.
Thanks, Vinny.
Yep.
Vinny Hinostroza on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Vinny Hinostroza tonight. 10:46 of ice time, a plus one, as the Buffalo falls by a 3-1 margin. So up next is Tampa. That'll be Monday at 7 o'clock. We'll have the game for you right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Okay, for at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on our flagship in Buffalo, more postgame coming up. We'll have Don Granato's postgame comments, Paul Hamilton's take, highlights and stats all coming your way. Final score from downtown Buffalo, New Jersey 3, Buffalo 1. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. There, Dan Dunleavy on the call with your save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. New inventory is arriving daily. 3-1 New Jersey, the final. We welcome you back here to the press box inside KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel here on the post game show. We're going to get to our play of the game now, and it's the game winner for the Devils. 5:47 into the second, just after Tyson Jost appeared to score, but they took the goal off because the official lost sight of the puck and blew it dead. Devils seem to kind of get the crowd out of it here. They take the lead, and it's the game winner. Boqvist putting New Jersey up 2-0.
Again with a cross-ice pass, and Zetterlund will put it down towards the corner. Picked up by Samuelson. He lost an edge. Puck comes in front. Anderson, it goes up and over him and in the net. Jesper Boqvist with the puck that somehow finds a way over Anderson, and it's 2-0 New Jersey.
There's your play of the game brought to you by NOCO, delivering comfort to homes and businesses since 1933. Devils win it. Down to Don Granato now live.
They've got a lot of swagger right now, and you know, their defense, I thought, was pretty dominant pretty early. denied our exits, denied our movement, you know, out of our end quick, and that put a little bit of extra pressure on us where their forwards could take advantage of some of the forced mistakes. But I thought their D was, and their D is, that's a very, very good group of defensemen, and that's why they're tough to penetrate even moving up the ice. So we, our guys haven't faced that to that extent. They were, in my assessment, a little bit or a lot surprised, but I also felt we didn't have guys playing their game. I thought, you know, Dahls and Sammy didn't look good, didn't look like themselves right out of the gate and fought it early. And then you do that against a very good hockey team that has their a little bit of swagger right now. It makes it more challenging. I liked our fight to find our game and our fight to through it. I think this is a game that will absolutely make us better as a result.
You mentioned fight, Don. That's a game that could have gotten away from you guys just based on their pressure. Turnovers could have led to even more against. But the way that the group handled it and being able to still make a game out of it, you had a lot of posts in the third period. What does that tell you just about the response and just where they're at, you know, after, you know, the difficult stretch that you guys had?
Yeah, it was, you know, the way they played, you could have got run out of the building. Any team could have tonight. You know, they're a team that's feeling it right now, and I give our guys credit. Andy was great. He looked like an experienced number one goaltender in there many times. And I, like I said, I know our guys didn't feel good. I could tell by the way they did things at the very first shift, just the way they went back for a puck and what they did with it. It was like, oof, we might be in for one right now. And so for us as coaches, we wanted to see him compete and work. And we were able to elevate that. The goal that Olofsson scored, Middlestead Olofsson, was just a complete foot race, and that's what we needed. We needed to start winning, concentrating on battles, winning battles, and we still were just disjointed, never got in a rhythm, but the battle level was better, and we needed to see that above all else. And so, you know, but not enough out of the gate. And like I said, I think this is going to be a good game for us to take and learn from and make sure we're better because of it.
Did your guys get frustrated a little maybe? And what I'm thinking of is, you know, you'd come up ice, you'd get in the zone, gain the zone, and then try to force a pass through what they had set up there, and then they would just knock it down and go the other way. Was that starting to get frustrating?
Yeah, you know, I think we had hoped for. I mean, you score 13. I think we had 13 goals the last two games, if I'm not wrong. And it's almost one of those games where you feel like you're just going to show up and score, and you learn really quick at the outset of that game that, oh my gosh, we got to work hard. We forgot that component to it, the work ethic and compete. And you know, that was the difference, and then you're reeling in the game and trying to get back to that, which meant you didn't prepare mentally the right way. And when that happens, you give up a pretty big edge to your competitor, which is what I saw tonight. And it was a fight just to survive and hang in there. Obviously, in the third, we could have got a couple breaks and got back into it, but, you know, the first two, we were so far from getting to our game that, you have to learn from it.
Coach, 2-9 in games where you're trailing by one in the third period. What's the conversations like during those games, and what's your expectation of the effort of the team as far as those type of games?
I mean, trailing in the NHL is a challenge for every team. The winning percentage for teams trailing going into the third is not high. Like I said, our battle level absolutely rose in the third, but not an ideal spot to be in just statistically throughout the league. And you know, when it happens, you gotta fight.
Could you get an explanation
on the last play? No, because it is not reviewable by the officials under 2 minutes. So under 2 minutes, it goes to Toronto. So they didn't have an exclamation. An explanation on it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato. His press conference brought to you by Salino Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Tempstar Energy Services. Specialists bringing heat on and off the ice. All right, so there's the explanation of what we were wondering about how that puck ended up going in that final minute there when there was that big schmozzle in the crease. Yes, you can't shove the goalie in across the line, but the puck wasn't under him. He was off to the side, and the Devil player actually in the crease there. I don't know if that was Smith or Marino, but one of them shoved it in. It was clearly that it went in. So it was the review had to come from Toronto, and it didn't get it. A week of weird reviews across the league. If you've, ironically enough, watched Toronto Maple Leafs games, they've had some calls that were quite mysterious. I'm not saying tonight was a night that the Sabres were jobbed in any way, but they did score two goals that didn't count. Tyson Jost scored one in the second period. He's jamming away in the side of the net. It goes in, clearly. Referee lost sight of the puck, blew the whistle, dead. Then, of course, it goes in there at the final minute, and Don Granato not able to necessarily challenge it because of what he said. Under 2 minutes, it all goes to the league offices in Toronto. Time now to get our first response from the fans, brought to you by ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi is first and faster to any size disaster. Visit TeamLuzzi.com. All right, some reaction coming in here tonight. You can always send me your thoughts on Twitter at BrianWGR. Zach writes in and says, when does the pain of this losing end? He goes, I get they're a young team, they're growing, but on what is going to feel like maybe 12 years of missing the playoffs, he says it hurts just so deeply as a diehard fan. There are some positives, but hurts to see with continuous losing. Yeah, I mean, tonight it's a painful night because the effort and the energy was there. I mean, they had 34 shots. The shot attempts were a near 50. Like, you figure, okay, it was a night that maybe they deserve better, but I'm going to feel like, what you know, the feeling I have on this game tonight is more so a credit of what New Jersey did than maybe what Buffalo didn't do. The Sabres maybe didn't handle the New Jersey pressure at times very well, but I think overall I'm sitting here saying New Jersey deserved a win with how impressive they are. I mean, if you've been following their story this season, they start off poorly, maybe 0-2 or 0-2-1 or whatever they were, 0-3. Fans in New Jersey are chanting fire Lindy in the crowd, and then all of a sudden they rattle off a 12-13 game winning streak, and they're chanting sorry Lindy, and then Lindy even admits to saying, yeah, I heard it. I accept their apology in classic Lindy fashion. And, yeah, now they're the best team in the Metro and look like one of the best teams in the league. Of the teams we've seen in this building this year, I thought the Sabres were better than the Bruins the night that they lost to the Bruins. They just could not beat Keith Kincaid. You know, there's another story about the Sabres not beating backup and third-string goaltenders. I thought Vegas was very impressive. Eichel that night was flying. They look legit for sure. There's not too many other teams that have been in here when the Sabres have lost that I've said, yes, that team is definitely better than Buffalo. This one tonight, New Jersey, like out of all the home games so far, I feel like this is the team that I've been really most impressed with for sure. All right, we're going to have Paul Hamilton here in just a little bit. Let's get you the three stars now. Craig Anderson gets star number three honors, 44 shots. He makes 41 saves. Nico Hischier, star number two, and Jack Hughes ends up getting a goal tonight. He is star number one. Jack Hughes, the electric player of the game, brought to you by Town BMW for an electrifying performance. Check out Town BMW's lineup of EVs. Get to the stats in a moment, but Paul Hamilton is ready down in the media room for his final thoughts. Paul, I was just saying, I don't have really much of a problem with Buffalo's effort and energy tonight. I thought they brought it. I was more so really impressed to seeing what New Jersey did and how they were able to earn their win tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was almost more of what New Jersey did other than and not what Buffalo didn't do. I thought the Devils were excellent. And, you know, what Don Granato said, Buffalo, his players didn't realize what they were in for. This is the type of team and the type of pressure they haven't seen before. And it was obvious, you know, that they hadn't. And they did get some chances. It took them a while, but, you know, in the first period, they couldn't break it at all. I mean, the first 5 minutes of the period, I think it was six shots by the Devils. The Sabres never left the zone. They were in their own zone. They didn't know what to do with it. And the frustration of when they did get it into the zone, they would try to force passes. Jeff Skinner especially was very frustrated. You know, he would gain the zone, stop, and then try to force a pass through two devils. And every single time it was just getting picked off and New Jersey would go the other way. It was just the pressure that, you know, they couldn't handle on that. And, you know, I agree with Don Grinnell. They'll learn from it. It's a special type of pressure that you see that the Devils coaching staff, you know, has been able to develop, and it's done them very well with a 17-4 record. There's no question about that. So, you know, you look at that, and the Sabres aren't the only team they've done this to. I mean, they've won 14 of their last 15 games. And in the end, I mean, Buffalo had a chance to make it close. I mean, Kyle Okposo hit a crossbar. They had some chances. The scouting report must have been shoot high on this guy, because they had some gorgeous chances that they put over the top of the net, many of them. And, you know, they hit the crossbar. So, that you know, they had chances to be able to score some goals, but, you know, a lot of it was high. They couldn't, you know, get it through. The reason that last goal didn't count, you can't push the goaltender into the net, you know, like they did. Now, the puck appeared, at first I thought Marino might have put it in with his glove, but the puck was already over the line when he hit it with his glove. So that meant you push the puck into the net with the goaltender. You can't do that. So that's why, you know, Toronto didn't overturn that or rule on it, and the play just continued. And you didn't see Don Granato arguing or anything like that. I think he knew that too.
Yeah. Paul, if there was going to be a moment where maybe the Sabres legitimately had a chance to either get back in it or maybe have an opportunity to get this tied late, it was early third. In the first 2 minutes, Tuck goes in all alone with a nice move, just misses the net on his backhand chance. Then Quinn hits the post, and then Okposo hits the crossbar. You mentioned that as part of your talk there about shooting high. But even through the first 40 minutes where we thought New Jersey was still the better team, like right there, three golden opportunities. If just one of those goes in, the third obviously maybe plays out different.
Yeah, exactly. And to show that they did work through it, I wouldn't question the effort at all in this game. I thought they had effort. Now, Don Granato talked about how a couple of the guys like Dahlin and Samuelson maybe didn't have their game, but they got it. I mean, look at that move Dahlin put on, and it's amazing he didn't score. The puck was just laying there in the crease and cleared by the Devils defenseman to get it out of there. But Buffalo did, by the end, have 34 shots. Halfway through the game, the Devils were on a 55-shot pace, and the Sabres are way behind them. So they stuck with it, you know, and fought to get to their game. It made sense, you know, when I was walking down thinking about the game and stuff, and what Don Granato was talking about made a lot of sense. They weren't ready for what they saw because they haven't seen it by any team all year, the way the Devils play. You heard Don Granato talk about it this morning, that it's like facing the Florida Panthers of last year. Well, what's the connection there? Their head coach is now an assistant coach with the New Jersey Devils and Andrew Brunette. You know, and you know, Granato was talking about that, you know, with us in the morning skate. So when you put two and two together, that's why they play a lot like the Florida Panthers did last year, because you've got the Florida Panthers coach on that coaching staff. So I agree. It was just more of what's this type of a thing. And now the coaches do go over the other team and they go over their tendencies, but this might be something you have to experience more than see it on tape with the way they did it. But in the end, as I said, Buffalo got 34 shots, which tells me they were fighting through it throughout the game, even though things weren't going their way.
Paul, how about Craig Anderson's night? He was very busy. 44 shots. Kept him in it in the third. I know fans are going to get on him for the third goal, but what did you think of his night overall?
And that's the thing. He makes 43 saves. He was spectacular at times, robbed him at times. But in the end, you got to stop that third goal, because that puts it away. With the way the Devils are playing, if you're 2-1, a fluke goal could go in, something could go in, and it's 2-2. But once it becomes 3-1 and you let that one in, I'm not going to put the second goal on him. I mean, Samuelson blew a tire behind the net. Jersey gets the puck. All of a sudden, it's up in the air, and it's rolling down his back. So I'm not going to get too excited about that one. You want him to stop the third one, but overall, he made a lot of really, really good saves at point-blank range of the 43 saves that he made.
Paul, thank you so much for your work tonight. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you here Monday with the Lightning in town.
Take care, guys.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton here on our postgame, 3-1 New Jersey. I was surprised that Anderson played tonight. Not necessarily saying he played poorly by any means. I mean, Paul, I think, said it right. Look, I think overall, I mean, you look at the numbers and the pressure, he played well. But that goal that goes in, like, when your team only scores one, it really feels like a bad goal, for sure. And maybe we're just still sitting here talking about a 2-1 loss, maybe, if he doesn't let that one in. But clearly, maybe, you know, the strategy down the stretch changes a little bit there. Don Granato, in some sense, is tough to predict with his goalies. He says, we want to play Anderson on rest. The intrigue of Luukkonen is there. And this is where this is where I think this season is tough. They're better, so you want to have every decision made be based upon the fact of what gives you the best chance to win tonight. But in the same sense, there's always the intrigue of, well, don't we want to kind of see what Luukkonen's all about? So, like, there's still a bit of that piece. Can you have both at the same time? Now, maybe Luukkonen still gives you the best chance to win. Maybe Luukkonen lets up five tonight. Who knows? Can you really have both? And I think that's what is going to happen a little bit this year, and I'm not necessarily making excuses for the team, but you're going to see these young guys play. You know, there's going to be nights where Jack Quinn or J.J. Paterka or Dylan Cousins or some of these other guys maybe don't look good. I love, by the way, that line of how they've looked so far. But there's going to be times where playing these young players might end up not being, quote, the best way to win the hockey game. But I still think seeing a lot of these young guys play is going to also do what you want, too, which is long-term development, get real answers on guys that maybe you're not quite sure about. You know, Luukkonen, I think, fits in that category for sure. Samuelson has been a rock for the Sabres when he's been healthy. I didn't think tonight was his best effort. He obviously fell on a goal. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it there. But in general, he just seemed kind of out of sync. And I want to credit the Devils for that. I think they were very, very good in that. I'm not going to sit here and rip into Samuelson or Dahlin or other players that maybe Don Granato didn't think had their best tonight. I think I'm going to put it more on how good New Jersey was. Now, tough thing again. You've got more divisional opponents coming in. Tampa and Detroit are your next two opponents. And in the standings, these are teams that are in front of you. Detroit's in third. Tampa's in fourth. The Sabres are in seventh. If you're going to think about, again, you got to run these teams down. If you're going to be in the playoffs, you're going to have to pass one of them at some point. If I would have said to you they were only be four back of Florida 2 months into the season, I might have signed up for that. But the Panthers are struggling. They only have 22 points. The Sabres with 18. So, you know, the Sabres have three less points than Washington, four less points than the Rangers. So, I mean, some of these other teams aren't getting out of the gate. But you've got the surprises that are taking up spots in the standings, like the Devils, who are 17-4. Kudos to Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff there. They are off to a tremendous start. Who had New Jersey and the Islanders 1-2 in the Metro? I did not, for sure. Boston, Toronto, the top two in the Atlantic, maybe not a surprise there. Florida is probably the biggest surprise in the division right now that they are struggling. But the Sabres have Tampa coming in next Monday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Injury report time now as we go to it. It's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Captain Kyle Okposo returned tonight, played 14 minutes, 19 seconds, five shots on goal, tied with Dahlin for the most in the game. Gergensen and Okposo came in the final shift of that first period on a 2-on-1. Gergensen ends up shooting it high and wide. Again, you know, a spot there, a clean look. Gergensen has a good shot. You want to have, I think, Schmid at least make the save there. But as Paul said, maybe that was the game plan. There were quite a bit of shots that went up high that ended up missing the net. We saw a couple of crossbars along the way as well. Let's finish up with our final stats now, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. The shot totals end up 44 for the Devils, 34 for the Sabres. There were really no penalties in this game at all. One per team. That's it. Both teams 0 for 1 on the power play. Buffalo's special teams has been good. You figure power play has been going in the really nice direction. They did not get really any opportunities tonight there other than that one. Akura Schmid picks up the win. 33 saves. Craig Anderson, the loss. 41 saves. Anderson is star number 3. Heischer, star number 2. Hughes, star number 1 in front of announced 16,727. Back-to-back games with very good crowds here at KeyBank Center. The Sabres will be home twice next week. Tampa on Monday. On the road in Detroit on Wednesday. And then home here Thursday. Disappointing the Avalanche are in town on a night that the Bills play. Like, I feel like that would be a night a lot of fans would want to come to see the Avalanche in their only visit this year. By the way, for all of you listening in Buffalo, the game on Thursday against Colorado will be on the Bet 1520 with Bills Patriots coverage on our flagship on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, with that, we are going to put a wrap on our postgame tonight. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios, the crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton. Tom Matty is our engineer. Our game announcers were Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. And my name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. Final again, Devils 3, Sabres 1. We will talk Monday night here with the Lightning in town, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.